With over 20 years at the helm navigating financial waters, he's a contributor to the Fox Business Channel and the author of the Best Stocks Now newsletter. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management, and he's here live on the Wall Street Business Network. Here is Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Wednesday morning. It's Wednesday morning. It is the May 18th edition of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Well, what happened in the market yesterday? I sent out a tweet that yesterday, I'm losing what I gained on Monday after what I lost on Wednesday, after what I lost last Tuesday. It's kind of a up and down rubber ball type of market here recently, but overall, I still remain bullish on the market. I made my case once again in my newsletter over the weekend. If you didn't get it, you can go to my website, publish that thing every week, GundersonCapital.com. Well, we have a market that's starting to come back here. In fact, the NASDAQ is now positive by 18 points. The NASDAQ is up 0.4%. The NASDAQ is at 4,733. We've kind of been mired there, though, for quite some time. The Dow is down 23 points right now. It's at 17,506, while the S&P 500 is now even. The S&P 500 is at 2,047. Crude oil continues to close in on 50. It's flat today. Crude oil is at 48.98. Wow, it's sure come a long ways, baby, from that $26 per barrel that we saw back in January. Gold has come a long ways, but it's kind of flattened out here. At 1274, 1300 seems to be the resistance level for gold. The euro is down today. That's got to mean the dollar's up. No wonder gold is down. The euro is at 1.1273. And the 10-year yield moving up a little bit here to 1.81%. So welcome. Welcome to the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour with professional money manager Bill Gunderson. Fed phobia. That's what it is. I've heard of arachnophobia and claustrophobia and all kinds of phobias. Maybe we need to add Fed phobia to the dictionary. That's what's been going on in the market here over the last several days. On Monday, we got economic reports that were better than expected. So everybody panics and says, oh no, that means the Fed's going to bring the hammer down and hike those interest rates. You know, I think I heard a commentator and analyst say today, and I believe it, that the Fed has become too much of the story in the market. Fundamentals just kind of go out the window. It's all anybody cares about is what color dress Miss Yellen's wearing. Does that indicate bullishness or dovishness? And any time some better than expected economic reports come out on the market reacts in a huge way. So Fed phobia has really got a grip on the market. That's what happened yesterday. We get a great day on Monday. And on Tuesday, the market gives it all back because of better than expected reports on the economy. Is the economy really that good? I don't think so. Do you really think they're going to raise rates in June? I don't think so. In fact, the odds right now put in by the bond market are one chance in six. The Brexit vote happens after that Fed meeting, and right now it looks like they're going to stay in the EU. And that should continue to be, you know, not any kind of big disruption there. So, yeah, there's a lot of emphasis on the Fed right now. And then you've got these other Fed members of the FOMC committee, Lockhart, Williams, others, and they'll talk dove, they'll talk bear, they'll talk hawk. And lately they've been talking up interest rate hikes, and that sends a chill down the market spine. But really, it's Miss Yellen in the end. She's the one that we need to listen to, and she continues to be most dovish. Well, we'll find out just how dovish she is today when we get those FOMC minutes. Hey, that would be some interesting reading. I don't know if that's available online. You can Google it and see. That's what you can do this afternoon. Read through the FOMC minutes just to see what they think about the economy today. But they'll be watching, and they'll be watching and reading every little bit and piece, those analysts, those economists. Meanwhile, Target might want to reconsider some of the things they've done recently. Target stores traffic way down. I wonder why. Traffic down at Target. The stock is down almost 9% here today. Is it just another case of a big box retailer? People ordering at Amazon instead of Target? Well, Target is down 9.6% today. Let's just check and see what Amazon is doing by contrast. Well, it's up $2.22 per share. There's definitely a huge demographic shift here. That was the subject of my newsletter also this past weekend. Did you read my article on Amazon? And did you read the huge, just the trashing of many of the department store stocks? That trashing goes on today with Target. And I think Target's done more than just being a big box retailer recently. That has hurt its traffic. And they might want to take a look at that. Walmart's also down today, 3.8%. Costco down 2.7%. JCPenney down 1.4%. Big box retailers, bricks and mortar stores, anybody? No thanks. Not for me. The only one I like is Dollar Tree. Because it's a dollar. Everything's a dollar. That seems to be a demographic, too. The cheaper, the better. Apache. You know, I've been watching that stock. Apache is a big natural gas producer. There is some talk today that maybe Occidental Petroleum is going to take them out. I don't think, personally, that that's a good reason to be buying or selling stocks. Hopes that they're going to be purchased. Rumors that someone's going to come along and take them out. Yeah, you know what? If anybody knew that, you could just sit back and wait and clean up. I don't think that's a good reason to be buying a stock because there's rumors that they'll be taken out. Meanwhile, we have some earnings reports coming in today. I own Lowe's in my conservative growth account. I don't own it in my income account anymore because the dividend yield has dropped considerably. As the stock has gone higher, the dividend yield has gone down to 1.5%. So I sold it out of my growth and income account, and I replaced it with another stock that had a much bigger dividend yield. In fact, the average dividend yield now on that income and growth account is over 5.1%. Lowe's no longer a member of that portfolio, but it is a member of the Premier Growth portfolio, which doesn't focus on dividends, focuses on growth instead. Lowe's beats earnings. Lowe's is up 2.1% here today after that earnings beat. Tencent Holdings. Ever hear of them? You know, they're a huge Chinese provider of internet and mobile value-added services, online advertising, e-commerce transactions. It's a $190 billion company. That's another one that I own in my Premier Growth account. It was a $1 stock in 2009. Today it's a $20 stock. It's down 3.1% today after their earnings report, which came in pretty strong. I'm surprised really that the stock is down here today. Let's see, what else do we have here today? Sonic warns. Okay, I guess those frozen drinks not working out so good. Sonic is down 6.1% today. I don't have any shares of Sonic. Time Warner will soon become Charter Communications. I was reading an article about Time Warner. I've never had Time Warner. We have a different cable provider out here in San Diego. I read that Time Warner set a record for the worst customer satisfaction of any company in many, many years. They have some kind of a number that ranks customer satisfaction. And Time Warner was at the bottom of that list. So they'll change their name and maybe they can get away from their horrible reputation. They'll soon be Charter Communications. GDP jumps in Japan. Did you know that? Overnight, while you slept, Japan was reporting 1.7% growth. Hey, they've been worried about a recession over there. So 1.7% growth, pretty good. GDP jumps in Japan. They're the ones with the negative interest rates right now, which is causing a flattening of the yield curve here in America. You know, every recession has been preceded by a flattening yield curve. Do you realize that we're down to just 94 basis point difference between the 2-year and the 10-year? That's the lowest since 2007. Is that something we should be worried about? Well, we'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gutterson. It's the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The Best Stocks Now app was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Sapperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the Best Stocks Now app is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, one of the factors here making the news today is a flattening yield curve. Boy, just when you thought you had enough to worry about as you eat your morning cereal or drink your morning coffee, well, now you got to worry about a flattening yield curve. What in the world is a flattening yield curve? Well, just think about the gap. What can you earn right now on a two-year T-note from the U.S. government versus a 10-year Treasury? Usually there's a pretty wide gap. I mean, the more you go out in time, the higher the yield that you should receive. And usually there's a pretty healthy gap between a two-year short-term treasury versus a 10-year term treasury. Well, if you go back 1 year ago today, the gap between the two-year and the 10-year was 1.65%. That's 165 basis points. If you look at the yield curve today, it has flattened considerably. The difference between a two-year treasury and a 10-year is now just 0.94%, just 94 basis points. Every recession has been preceded by a flattening yield curve. Now, the last time we had a gap between the two-year and the 10-year this narrow was 2007. That's the year that earnings topped out and started to fall. Well, you can't really rely on just any one indicator, but this is a pretty big one. I mean, this is one that the economists watch. Industrial production's another one. GDP, obviously, another one. And all of the other signs right now would seem to point to really no recession out there on the horizon. But you get mixed signals from the market every single day. Look at yesterday when we got better than expected economic numbers. And all of a sudden, they're worried about an overheated economy and the Fed jumping in and raising interest rates in June or July. Now today, we get news of a flattening yield curve, and now there's recession talk again. So no wonder the market bounces around so much, because from day to day, the economic reports also bounce around. The yield curve is something that I watch very, very closely. It has been a very reliable indicator over the years of a looming recession. So while I sit up and take note of that flattening yield curve, maybe that'll be the subject of this week's newsletter, a flattening yield curve. I also look at the other indicators right now that don't seem to be pointing to a recession. You also have to take into account that we've got kind of an unusual circumstance out there in the market right now. And I wonder if the yield curve is as good a predictor as it has been in the past. We have negative interest rates in Japan. We have almost negative interest rates in Europe. We still have almost a zero interest rate policy here in the U.S. Way behind the curve is the Fed. So that's having an impact on that yield curve also. But then again, the reason that interest rates are so low right now is because of fear of recession. They don't want to hike rates to put us back into recession. So it would seem to me that the yield curve is still a valid indicator to watch going forward. And one should take note that right now there is just a 94 basis point spread between the 2-year and the 10-year, when a year ago there was a 165 basis point spread. And for that reason, I continue to keep a hedge in place. I have a very small hedge in place right now in my income accounts and in my large conservative growth account. I have about a 3.5% hedge. And in fact, the other day when the market was up 200 points on the new accounts that have come into Gunderson Capital Management in the last month or two, I went ahead and hedged those portfolios too. Because when somebody opens a new account with me, I don't immediately go out and buy the 25 or 30 stocks that I currently own in that portfolio. I start fresh with a clean slate. And I start building their portfolio slowly, one at a time, two at a time. But the stocks that I add to their portfolio come from the ones that I already own, but I wait for them to pull back or to hit an area that I like. And when I saw that big 200 point, I've been waiting for an opportunity to add a hedge to these new portfolios that have come in. And when that market went up 200 points a couple of days ago, I said, you know, this is a good time to buy a short position. They're way down right now because of the move up in the market. So I did hedge and added a hedge to those new portfolios that have come in recently. And I continue to keep a hedge in place. Now, the nice thing about having a small hedge in the market at the current time, on the big down days like yesterday, the hedge is up. It takes a little bit of the sting out of the market. And that hedge can be built upon if we continue to get a flattening yield curve, lower GDP numbers, other things that would look like we're headed into a recession. Because every bear market is also tied to a recession. That's why we watch these indicators so closely. We're on recession watch all the time. We haven't had one for over seven years. But we do know that at some point in time, we'll have another recession. We'll have another bear market. And that hedged position that I currently have, which is an inverse S&P 500 position, very mild. You know how they ask if you order curry? Do you like your curry on a scale of 1 to 7? How hot do you like it? Well, the hedge that I currently have is a 1, but I could go clear up to 7 if we start to head into another recession and another bear market. That's called active management. I had somebody write to me yesterday and they said, well, you know, here's over the last 18 months, here's what the S&P 500 has done, and here's what I've done, and here's what they've done, and you have to remember that active management from time to time is going to underperform the S&P 500. You have to go through a complete market cycle. Imagine if the market goes down 60% and an active manager only goes down 10%. Well, there's been a few times where I've thrown some hedges in there and it's cost me a little bit of performance, but that's also the cost of active management and preventing the big one. The San Andreas Fault, the big one, dropping California into the ocean. Well, the market's going to have another bear at some point in time. We'll continue to watch this flattening yield curve. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back.
There are a lot of investors out there in today's world that enjoy managing their own money. There's nothing wrong with this, but maybe you should manage a small portion of your overall portfolio and let a professional money manager manage your serious money. Just like you don't learn how to be an accomplished golfer by spending a few hours on the golf course or at the driving range on the weekends, it takes years of experience to even begin to understand how the financial markets work. And even then, it still takes hours and hours every day to stay on top of an ever-changing marketplace. There are numerous pitfalls that can stand in the way of the part-time investor. If a constant barrage of contradictory opinions keeps you from being able to make sound decisions, if you have a hard time keeping your emotions in check, or if you're continually selling at the bottom and buying at the top, then maybe it's time to consider a full-time professional money manager. Give the folks at Gunderson Capital Management a call and let Bill Gunderson manage your money. You can reach them at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST or pwstreet.com.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com. Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Nearly every day you hear a tragic story on the news about a teenager and the internet. Well, Be Safe Online would like to share some positive news with you. News of families who have prevented similar tragedies because they were protected with the ultimate family internet filter.
A dad from Ohio writes, "It stopped the kids from getting on a few sites that they should not go to, and the best thing is the time restraints. Online time now ends promptly at 11 p.m. No ifs or just a seconds anymore."
Writes a mom in Minnesota, "I questioned my oldest son, and he admitted that the ads he saw in a honey magazine made him curious. He went online to check it out, and he told me Be Safe Online blocked it. Thank you so much."
And who can forget the dad in Georgia who wrote this? "With Be Safe's help, I managed to keep my 14-year-old away from a guy who, shortly after, was in the paper for raping another 14-year-old. God bless Be Safe. Go to BeSafeOnline.com and protect your family today. That's BeSafeOnline.com, the letter B, then SafeOnline.com.
second half of the Best Stocks Now Radio Hour. Well, the market has gone nicely positive here today. That's a pleasant surprise. It woke up kind of grumpy, but it's had its morning fix, I guess. Mountain Dew, Diet Coke, coffee, whatever. The market is now turned positive. We did get some earnings reports, too. Target bad, really bad. Another big box retailer. Ooh, look at that. That is an ugly chart on Target. Can you believe what's happening to these big box retailers? Macy's just clobbered last week. Gap stores just clobbered. Target clobbered. Nordstrom's clobbered. I showed a bunch of them in my newsletter last weekend. See, if you're following along with the newsletter, you knew I got out of gold back in 2011. I got back into it this year. I got out of the energy stocks back in 2014. Instead, a lot of people wrote those energy stocks down 60-70% at their big box wirehouse firm. And I got out of these big box department stores quite some time ago. Instead, I went in another direction. I went across the street to the lounge chairs and the laptop computers and the online world, and have done very well with some online retailers. So it pays to follow along with the show. It pays to follow along with the newsletter to spot these big trends. Well, one of the areas of the retail sector, which is made up of 13 subsectors. That was just an amazing statistic that I saw last week, that the online retailers' earnings were up 142% of that subsector within the retail sector, and that the big box department stores' earnings were down 42%. Okay, so which side of the street do you want to be on? The down 42% side or the up 142% side? I also reported in my newsletter that within that retail sector, which is subdivided into 13 subsectors, the second best sector within the retail sector, besides internet and online, is the building supplies. Well, how often do you go out and buy building supplies? Asphalt, shingles, tar, cement. Well, you know what? The building supplies is basically two big ones, Lowe's and Home Depot. We featured Home Depot here the other day, and I went through the target prices, and I went through the valuation, and I went through the performance of the shares. I own Home Depot, big position, and I have for quite some time. I also own Lowe's in my growth account, my large cap premier growth account. I sold it recently out of my income account because I didn't like the dividend yield anymore. If your focus in a portfolio is on income and growth is secondary, I mean, we really want that growth. We really want that capital appreciation to pump up the dividend income. But when the dividend yield fell to just 1.5% on Lowe's, I replaced it with something else that had about a 10% dividend yield. But I continue to own Lowe's in my growth stock portfolio. Now, Lowe's reported earnings yesterday, and Lowe's beat their earnings estimates. So let's do a little bit of work on Lowe's here and try to determine whether or not Lowe's is still a good stock to own in a growth portfolio. Well, I begin by looking at the app, the Best Stocks Now app that I invented that helps me sum up a stock in a pretty short period of time. Number one, I can look at this company, which is headquartered in North Carolina, which seems to be a business-friendly state. A lot of companies headquartered in North Carolina. Lowe's has put up some pretty good numbers over the years. Over the last decade, over the last 10 years, Lowe's has doubled the returns of the S&P 500, more than doubled the returns, as you can see from the Best Stocks Now app. Over the last 5 years, the app shows that between the dividend yield and the capital appreciation, that Lowe's has delivered 27.4% per year, while the market's delivered 9% per year. That's triple the returns of the market. And over the last 3 years, Lowe's has delivered 23.2, while the market's delivered 7.1. Once again, triple the returns of the market. Over the last 12 months, Lowe's is up 5.7%, which doesn't sound that great, but the market's down 3.6%, which makes it sound a whole lot better. If we go back to 2008, during the last bear market, this is another important number to look at on the app. Lowe's was down 3.3% that year, while the market was down 38.5%. Now, there's no guarantee that Lowe's will hold up as well as it did in the next bear market as it did in the last bear market, but that's still a nice factoid to know. Now we take a look at the valuation of Lowe's. One thing I like to do is compare the forward PE with the growth rate. Lowe's right now has a forward PE of 16.2. It has an estimated growth rate over the next 5 years of 16.4. That means the PEG ratio is 0.99. It's trading still, even though the stock is hitting new all-time highs today, is still trading at a discount to its growth rate. And in fact, when I do the math on Lowe's, which takes a look at their earnings for next year, Lowe's is expected to make $4.67, grow those earnings by 16% per year over the next 5 years, apply a multiple that I think is appropriate, I get a $137 target price 5 years from now on Lowe's. That gives it plenty of upside potential. The stock's currently trading at 78. Now, my Best Stocks Now analysis takes into account performance and valuation and stock chart, healthy stock chart. When I take all that into account, I get a stock that's currently ranked number 46 out of 4,128. Lowe's, a stock that I currently own at Gunderson Capital Management in my growth portfolio. And I just want to go back. Let's look at that technical pattern a little bit closer. Valuation is nice. Performance is nice. You know, the performance shows up in the chart of the stock. Gosh, if you look at this thing back in 1995, it was $1 a share. Today it's $78 a share. That's on a split adjusted basis. And you say, well, is there any more gas left in the tank of Lowe's? Well, it's breaking out today. It's trying to. Its all-time high is $78.13, and it's just right there right now trying to break out. But as you can see from the valuation that I did, looking out 5 years down the road, you know, you can't predict the next 3 months of a company. They could miss in their next quarter, and the stock could fall 10%. They happen to beat their earnings during this quarter. Generally speaking, good companies have a knack for beating their earnings. And bad companies have a knack for continuing to report bad earnings. But when I look beyond the next 3 months and beyond the next 6 months and look out to a 5-year valuation, that also gives me a lot of time to change my opinion between now and then. But as I look at it today with a long-term time horizon in perspective here, I see that the stock, in my book, in my opinion, it still has ample upside potential. They're looking for 22% growth in earnings this year, which should surprise you. I mean, this is no small company. This is a $70 billion company still growing at this rate. And they're looking for 17% growth next year. Well, all things being equal, I'll take a company that's growing by 16, 17% per year over one that's growing by 1 or 2% per year. Lowe's is not a recommendation, but it's an example of a stock that I own in my premier growth account, which is large cap companies. I have a lot of investors that still need growth. They're not ready to retire next year. They still got 5 years ahead of them. They don't need income yet. The focus is on growth, and Lowe's happens to be one of the stocks I own in that portfolio. Not a recommendation, but an example of a best stock now. We'll be right back.
Is your IRA being managed by a robot? Does a nameless, faceless computer program make automatic decisions about what to do with your hard-earned money? Perhaps your employer conveniently invested your retirement with a supercomputer mega big box warehouse brokerage firm, and now you're simply thought of as just another number in a vast sea of millions. This is Rob Sanford for Gunderson Capital Management, and I'm here to testify that Bill Gunderson is no robot. I've seen him. Bill is in the office every single day from bell to bell, personally and actively managing the accounts of every single client. He never leaves the helm or turns over the wheelhouse to some junior trainee or office deckhand. He's the skipper. His decisions are thorough, well thought out, researched, and conducted with great care. So give Gunderson Capital Management a call at 855-611-BEST. If you're driving right now and can't write it down, just search Bill Gunderson on the web when you get home. So say goodbye to the robot and shake hands with Bill Gunderson today.
What are the leading asset classes in the market right now? Stocks, bonds, cash, gold?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the leading indexes in the world currently? U.S., Europe, Japan, South America, emerging markets?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best sectors in the market now? Energy, technology, retail, financials, healthcare?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
What are the best stocks in the market now from a valuation, relative performance, and technical perspective? Exxon, Celgene, Apple, Delta, to name a few.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp database currently has over 4,000 stocks, indexes, exchange-traded funds, and mutual funds to choose from. What are the best ones now?
BestStocksNowApp.com.
The BestStocksNowApp was invented by Bill Gunderson and Douglas Apperly. Bill Gunderson is the president of Gunderson Capital Management. In addition to the PC version, the BestStocksNowApp is also available on Apple and Android platforms.
BestStocksNowApp.com.
Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter gave a buy signal on the market on March 27, 2009. That was just 18 days after the S&P 500 had finally hit bottom at 666. The buy signal has been in place ever since. How valuable was that call in the weekly newsletter to investors? The market has more than doubled since then. While market pundits were clamoring about a collapsing dollar, runaway inflation, and soaring gold prices, Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter told investors that stocks were the best place to be. Bill Gunderson is not a permabull, however. At some point in the future, the newsletter will give a sell signal. Investors, be warned. The last bear market took 53% out of the S&P 500. Why not sign up for a free 4-week trial to Bill Gunderson's Best Stocks Now newsletter? You can do so by visiting his website at pwstreet.com. Again, that's pwstreet.com.
Are you having a hard time being in the right places at the right time in the market and being out of the wrong neighborhoods when troubles arise? Why don't you download Bill Gunderson's app, Best Stocks Now, on your Apple or Android device? Every day, the Best Stocks Now app ranks the 45 asset classes that you have to choose from as an investor. It is absolutely vital to be in the right asset classes and out of the wrong ones. This has the potential to greatly increase your portfolio returns over time. It is also important to be in the right sectors of the market and out of the worst ones. The Best Stocks Now app ranks the various sectors in the markets on a daily basis. The app also ranks about 3,500 investment choices daily. The ranking is based on performance, value, and technical patterns. Download the app today from the Apple App Store or the Android Marketplace. That's the Best Stocks Now app.
Jack was ready to quit and justified in wanting out. Ineffective boss, deadweight co-workers, no recognition, a struggling business. He dashed off a blistering resignation by email, then hit the delete key. Now, more coolly, he picked up the phone to arrange an evening with an old mentor. Later, he talked things over with his best friend, who happened to be his wife. The next day, a renewed employee went to work. This is Howard Butt Jr. of Laity Lodge. The new Jack was just as aware of his job's shortcomings. Only now, he intended to be the difference he had long wanted to see. The best change to a bad job starts inside us, in the high calling of our daily work.
Learn more at thehighcalling.org.
Welcome back here to the final segment of the Best Docs Now Radio Hour. Well, so far we've talked about Fed phobia. Add that one to your list. Whatever phobias that you have, the market has Fed phobia. Fear of the Fed. The Fed has been at zero interest rate policy now for the last 7 years. They finally hiked one time in December. And then they undid it. Well, they didn't undo it, but they backed off. And then the market started to go forward again. And now there's Fed phobia once again. Worried that those economic reports are coming in just a little bit too hot right now for the Fed's liking. And afraid that they'll hike rates. Well, the next chance they have is in June. And right now the odds of that the bond market is placing into a Fed rate hike is 1 in 6. I don't see that happening in June. Meanwhile, we have a flattening yield curve, which ought to be of some concern to the Fed. The yield curve can be a pretty good predictor of recessions. So you've got this fight going on from day to day. And really the only one you need to listen to is Miss Yellen. And she has been completely dovish here for the last many moons. And we'll find out today when the FOMC minutes are released. We'll see what kind of impact that has on the market and see whether or not Fed phobia creeps back into the market, which it did on Tuesday in a big way, wiping out Monday's gains. Meanwhile, Target stores, more evidence that these big box retailers are really struggling with the online retailers. You don't have to worry about which bathroom you're going to go in at Amazon, do you? You can use the bathroom at home. You know who's in that one. I hope you do. Anyways, petroleum inventories come in a little bit better than expected. Many are saying that those inventories have been worked off, and now we're moving away from surplus to deficit in oil prices. I continue to be extremely bullish on the energy sector, on oil stocks, and I am extremely bullish on the precious metals sector at the current time. After being just a raging bear against those two sectors for the last many years. Other earnings that came in today, well, Lowe's came in and beat earnings, and we just did a feature on Lowe's. Hey, if you have the Best Stocks Now app, whether it's on your iPhone, your Android device, or your computer at home, beststocksnowapp.com, you can do the same. It took me 3 minutes to go through the performance of Lowe's, the valuation of Lowe's, and the overall ranking of where Lowe's stacks up against the other 4,200 choices that I have out there. Well, I'd like to finish the show today by talking just a little bit about the difference between growth investing and income investing. When I talk to new clients, we always have a little powwow together, and I'm trying to determine, and this is after you've already filled out a questionnaire with the management agreement that you sign with us, but we have a little powwow trying to decide what your number one priority is. Sometimes people's priorities are, you know what, I could really use a little bit of income here to supplement my Social Security or whatever it is else that you're getting income from. So my emphasis in a portfolio like that is going to be on dividends and yield. And as I've said, my growth portfolio right now has a combination of a lot of different things from all walks of life, including dividend-paying stocks, equities. There's also some closed-end funds that I've bought in there that actually own bonds. And I bought them when they were trading at a discount to their net asset value and had some pretty hefty dividend yields. Now, a growth investor, on the other hand, is really not concerned with dividends. Although a lot of the growth stocks that I own also do pay a dividend, the emphasis there instead is on growth. And that's where the earnings come in. That's why you hear me talk about, well, their earnings are growing by 16% per year or 20% per year. That's where the focus is on earnings. In an income stock, you're more concerned with their ability to cover the dividend yield that they offer. Can they maintain it down the road? And if we get some capital appreciation on top of that dividend yield or coupon, whatever, that's icing on the cake. So that's a big decision every investor needs to make. A lot of times I have people in their late 70s, early 80s saying, I don't need income. You know, this money's going to pass on more than likely to the next generation. And so growth is still my number one focus here, still my priority. Obviously, you don't want to take big chances. You don't want to be in small cap, micro cap biotech stocks and things like that. But you don't need income. So the focus is still on growth. So every investor needs to size up number one. Now, if you're still working, you're 50 years old, and you're putting money into your 401k, it's a pretty good bet that you need growth. You need that thing to grow so that someday you can turn it around and start drawing income from it at some point in the future. Then your priority will change. You know, during your working years, your priority is growth. And also trying to avoid those big bear markets. That's why I'm not an index or a buy and hold or an asset allocator. I try to look for the signs that a recession, things like flattening yield curves and dropping GDPs and shrinking industrial production and things like that, which right now we're really not seeing any signs of a recession out there. But it's good to determine what your number one priority is. I've seen growth investors come to me that are full of income-producing stuff. They're totally in the wrong types of assets. And I've seen, on the other hand, income people that need income, they're in speculative little micro cap and small cap stocks. I've seen a lot of that. So it's good to determine what your priorities are and then match up a portfolio, construct one, take some time. You know, make it a blueprint. Here's the kind of stocks that we want here in this portfolio or funds or ETFs or whatever, mutual funds, and match it up with your objectives and also your risk tolerance. Well, that's what we do here at Gunderson Capital Management every single day. I looked at a bunch of portfolios again yesterday. You can give us a call at 855-611-BEST. That's 855-611-BEST. Or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based, registered investment advisor. All accounts are held at Scottrade. Scottrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.